Rav Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chav Vav. We just learned about how Amnon had taken Tamar, had violated her, and sent her away in disgrace. And Avshalom, who was Tamar's brother, didn't speak with Amnon about this at all. For 2 years, life went on, and Avshalom didn't say a word to Amnon about what had happened. But Avshalom was plotting revenge. And after 2 years, he was shearing his sheep, and Avshalom went to David HaMelech, and he asked if David could come and join. It was a big yomtiv, they're cutting the sheep. They'll do the mitzvah of Reishis HaGez, they'll bring in all the wealth. And David HaMelech said, no, David didn't want to go. V'lo ovo lo leches, he didn't want to go, and he just gave Avshalom a bracha. And in Pasuk Chavav, Vayomer Avshalom, so Avshalom said, V'lo, the Pasuk could be read as V'lo, and no, you're not going to go. At least Yelech Noi Tanu Amnon Ochi. At least let my brother Amnon go together with us. Or it could be read, V'lo Yelech Noi Tanu Amnon Ochi. Not even Amnon, my brother, is going to come. I can understand David doesn't want to come. But even Amnon won't come. V'yomer lo hamelech, the king said to him, Lo Yelech Imoch, why should he go with you? David realized there was something that he just felt that this was not going to be good. This was not matzliach. There was something, he had an intuition, this wool shearing party was not going to turn out well. He himself didn't want to go, and he felt Amnon shouldn't go, perhaps, but he wasn't sure there was any problem with it. And some of the Mefarshim point out, again, he didn't have the Ruach HaKodesh at this point, right after this incident with Bathsheba, and it could be he felt that Amnon shouldn't go, but he didn't say clearly, why should he go with you? Another pshat could be, as we learned, Amnon was sitting and learning. After this incident and the terrible actions, the action that he had done, Amnon went and he went off to yeshiva and he figured he'll learn. And what David said was, if he's sitting and learning, why should he go with you? What does he stand? You know, I think it's like we've mentioned earlier, the term madua can mean what happened in the past that should cause this consequence. Madua, why? Why is this happening based on what happened previously? Why is this happening? Lam is always for the future. What benefit is there? Like lama, for what positive benefit will there be in him going? If he's sitting and learning, so he's going to go to this wool-cutting party, I mean, why should he go? But Yifrat Bo Avshalom. But Avshalom, again, this is the same time we just had this word in Pasuk Chof Hei. Again, by Yifrat Bo, he importuned him, and he asked again and again, as if he was going to breach through David's defenses and insist that they must come with him. By Yifrat Bo Avshalom, so he was persistent. By Yishlach Ito Es Amnon, so David did send Amnon together with Avshalom, Ve'ez Kol B'nei HaMelech, and together with all the other children of David, all the other royal children. Again, it's the punishment that David HaMelech got. Part of it is that he himself is now going to be the cause for his son Amnon being killed. As it was David's decision, okay, Amnon can go, but Yishlach Ito Es Amnon. So David sent Amnon. We had this before. David was the one who sent Tamar to go and see, because Amnon was sick, and he's the one who sent Tamar to Amnon, and now he's the one who's sending Amnon to Avshalom. Obviously, he's not having the siyata d'shmaya, and he's at this point, David is getting a tremendous yisurim and a tremendous punishment. So he sends Amnon together with Avshalom and together with all the Bnei HaMelech. Vayitzav Avshalom es Na'orav Lamor. Avshalom commanded his Na'arim, his lads, saying, Ru'una, see now, Ketov Lev Amnon Bayayin. When Amnon gets a little giddy with the wine, he has a jolly heart, he's drinking. Obviously, Amnon, and as Avshalom was sure that Amnon didn't realize what was in store for him. As we discussed, whether he could be, he did talk with Amnon during these 2 years, just he didn't discuss the subject of what happened with Tamar. But obviously he was able to build up the trust in Amnon that Amnon was going to come to the party and he would drink, he would let down his guard. And Ketov Lev Amnon Bayayin, when Amnon's in a jolly mood with the wine, V'amarti Aleichem, I'm going to say to you, Haku es Amnon, strike Amnon, V'hamiten oso, and kill him. That's what I'm going to tell you. Al tiro, do not be afraid. Hello, is it not? Ki anochi tzivisi eschem, aren't I the one who's telling you to do it? Chizku, you have to strengthen yourself, v'yuli v'nei choyel, and be courageous, don't be cowards, go ahead and do what you have to do. You see the power of Avshalom. Obviously, they realized that this was a very risky thing that they were doing, a wrong thing that they were doing, something that David HaMelech might be furious and might give them a terrible punishment. They're killing David HaMelech's, they're going to kill David HaMelech's Bechor, the firstborn son. If it be any son, if it be any son of any person, you can imagine the retribution, the anger that the parent would have. But here it's David, the king, and it's his son, and it's the Bechor, the one who was assumed would be taking over as the king. And here they're going ahead and they're going to strike him down. And Avshalom knew that they would hesitate. He said, Al tiro, don't be afraid. And he was mechazik them, chizku, you have to strengthen yourself, you have to be courageous. And somehow he's going to have the power, which was the power of Avshalom, that he was a good talker and he was able to persuade people to do things that they ordinarily wouldn't do. We'll see later on when Avshalom, in Perek Yud Ches, when Avshalom is caught, he's entangled, his hair is caught, and they, Avshalom is going to get killed. Yoav tells the lad there to kill Avshalom. And the lad says, what do you mean? How can I do such a thing? The king said to leave him alone. And he refused, and Yoav had to do it himself. Yoav the general, we'll learn about that later. But it was understood, you don't touch the king's son, and to do that, and to kill him. And here, this is what Avshalom is going to get his servants to do. That when they get a hold, when Amnon is not on guard, when he's giddy with wine, they're going to strike Amnon and kill him. Hakuas Amnon, strike Amnon. Hit him and don't run away. Don't run away immediately. Make sure v'hamitem oso. You have to do a thorough job. Hit him and kill him. And they shouldn't leave until they're sure that he's dead. Could be it's also Merames, the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin. In Sanhedrin daf ayin ches. The Gemara says if a gang beats up an individual, and they're all involved in hitting him, so no individual of them would get misa. No one could be given individually the death sentence because it's very hard to know whose blow, in other words, everyone's blow is hitting him, and then from the combined wounds and concussions, just from the attack, there's a dead victim. But it's hard to know exactly who did it. Could be that's what he's suggesting to them. Haku es Amnon, you should all strike Amnon. V'hamitem oso, and as a group, you will kill him. He didn't tell one person to do it. He's addressing all of his Na'arim. All of you together should get involved in this. And this way, nobody will get punished. And we'll see later on, you don't find anywhere that the Na'arim did receive a punishment. The action will be done. Avshalom will flee for his life. But you don't find that the Na'arim are actually get a punishment because, besides the facts, could be they weren't witnesses, though it wasn't known exactly who did it, but even if we would know who the gang was, it's difficult to give them a legal punishment. Sometimes the king would give a punishment beyond the letter of the law, but legally, if it's a gang, it's hard to hold any individual culpable. So Avshalom tells them that they should kill Amnon. Chizku, they have to strengthen themselves. V'yuliv nechoyel, and be courageous. Could be he's hinting to them, if I see you're courageous, I see you're b'nei chayel, you'll gain from it. Avshalom already had plans. He's going to take over the monarchy. He's going to become king. And those that help out Avshalom, you do your job and you do it well, I'll remember it. You'll be b'nei chayel. Could be he's letting him know that the people will condone the action. That the people realize what Amnon did was so despicable, and it was not done in Klal Yisrael. It was such a rarity and such a crime. And here was somebody important, a chush of a person like Amnon did such a thing. They realize that he needed to get a punishment that would send a message to the nation, and the people would look at it as if he was a B'nai Chayil. But it could be also, it seems to me from the Pasuk, this is one of the ways of the Yetzirah, and it's the truth is I always, you know, there's many reasons why people would tell you not to read the papers and not to keep up with the secular media and everything, but one of the greatest problems is what you see in this Pasuk. What they are doing is they're doing murder. They're killing Amnon, and Amnon doesn't deserve the death penalty. Whatever he did with Tamar was not Chayav Misa. Even if it would be his sister. Bezdin doesn't kill such a person for that. It might have been a Chayav Karas. But it wasn't Chayav Misa. And certainly there were no witnesses. And certainly, like we said, it wasn't really his sister. There were many reasons. What happened over here was not... Well, they lynched him. It wasn't acceptable. It was usher. But what he does is he portrays it as if they're doing... don't be a coward. you can't do what's right. You got to be mechazik. You got to be courageous. You have to be b'nei chayil. Sometimes the power of the Yetzirah to take what's an aveir and what's wrong and show if you're able to do that, you're a good man, you're successful, you're strong, you're able, and the other guy's a weakling and a nebuch and he can't do anything. And the hashkof is the subtle way the Yetzirah portrays it. And here Avshalom tells him, go ahead and kill Amnon, and don't be a bunch of cowards. Chizku, you got to be mechazik and be b'nei choyo. And he agrees he'll take the blame. Don't worry. Am I not the one who's commanding you? Don't worry, everyone knows that I'm the one who's taking responsibility. You'll be okay. Vayasu nare Avshalom la'amnon. So the na'arim, the lads of Avshalom, did to Amnon. Kasher tziva Avshalom. They did as Avshalom commanded. Vayakumu kol b'nei ha-melech. And the Pasuk doesn't elaborate, meaning obviously Amnon drank, and then Avshalom gave him the instructions, and then they killed Amnon. But they did as they were told. Vayakumu kol b'nei ha-melech. So now all of the king's sons, all the other children of David ha-melech who had come to this festive occasion to see the shearing of the sheep, as soon as Amnon was killed, they immediately got up, Vayirkavu Ishal Pirdo, and everyone went riding on his mule, Vayanusu, and they fled. They were immediately out of there. Why were they afraid? Could be they weren't... The simple reason is could be they thought Avshalom planned to take over as king. Amnon was obviously David HaMelech's heir apparent. He was the Bechor. They figured Amnon would be the next king. Once Avshalom killed Amnon, could be he's actually planning to kill all of them. And could be Avshalom wants to take over and be king, as we'll see later on. He did plan on it. So all the B'nai HaMelech got up and they felt their life was in jeopardy. So they all fled. It could also be that they felt they might be held responsible. For 2 years, Avshalom harbored that hatred and that desire for revenge. His sister Tamar was violated and nobody's doing anything. We discussed already why David HaMelech didn't do anything, but nothing was being done. And now all the B'nai HaMelech come, and everyone's good friends with Amnon. This is Avshalom's private grudge. Avshalom's out to get Amnon. But what about all the other B'nai HaMelech? Life goes on, and Amnon is accepted among the family, and all the B'nai HaMelech are friends with him, and they don't rebuke him. And the very fact that they didn't stand up for Tamar, they weren't upset about what happened, and they remained friends with Amnon. They're all part of that whole clique. And therefore they fled for their lives, because when Avshalom in his rage might kill them also. The Pasuk says, Vayirkavu Ishal Pirdo. everybody fled on his mules. I saw a discussion. I don't know how quickly mules travel, but usually I would think you go on a horse. I mean, a mule is a crossbreed between a horse and a donkey. Donkeys aren't very quick. Horses are. I don't know how quick a mule goes. It must go pretty quickly if they were able to flee on these mules. But I saw a message that one of the Mefarshim says that the B'nai HaMelech could be avoided horses. That since the king is not supposed to increase more horses than he needs, and he's allowed to have horses, but the very fact that the Torah places a limit, that it's not just as many horses as you want, could be they prefer to ride mules. Also, it's brought down in Yoredeya, in Simon Reish Tzadi Zion, a discussion whether somebody's allowed to ride a mule, because a mule is kilayim. Just like you're not allowed to work a horse and a donkey together, you can't hitch a horse and a donkey to your wagon, so could you use a mule? A mule is a horse and a donkey. It's a hybrid. But you see from here that it's allowed. Now, once the new animal is created, is born, you have the mule, they rode mules. So you see that is permitted. Vayhi Hema Vaderech. So now they're all on the road. All the B'nai HaMelech are fleeing the scene. Vashmua Va'a, and the news came El David, to David Lamor, saying, Hiko Avshalom is Ko B'nai HaMelech. David HaMelech got the report that Avshalom killed all of the B'nai HaMelech. All of the royal children were killed. V'lo Nosar Mehem Echad, and not a single one was left. Could be somebody was there at the scene, and he knows that Amnon was killed, and then he knows that there was a whole royal party and nobody's around. He assumed David HaMelech got the report that everyone was killed. The Gemara in Baruchas has a discussion that whether dreams are significant or not. If somebody has a dream, does that mean anything? Does it portend the future? Is a dream stam nonsense? Is a dream what a person thinks about during the day? And there's many different opinions in the Gemara. One opinion of the Gemara is if a person has a nightmare, it doesn't necessarily mean that something terrible is going to happen in the future. Just because he had a nightmare doesn't mean there's anything bad that's going to happen. Chelma Bisha, a bad dream, Atzivuse, the sadness that it causes, Mistaya is what helps him. In other words, that's the benefit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided a person should get a punishment. So it could be sometimes Hashem gives him a nightmare. And the very fact that he had such a harrowing experience there on his bed with this nightmare, that itself is a punishment. That doesn't mean anything else is going to happen, that he has a punishment destined for him. The Gemara in Baruchas Daf Nun Hey says the very fact that he had a nightmare, that could be the punishment. Over here, David HaMelech, besides the punishment to what's happening, it's magnified that David HaMelech gets a report that's false. But the initial report that he gets is that his whole family was wiped out. All of the B'nai HaMelech, all of the royal children were killed. Except for probably Avshalom, it's understood Avshalom's alive. But I guess if David HaMelech would have lost his whole family, and the only one to be alive is Avshalom who killed them, that's not much of a nechama. That's a worse tragedy than the one son he has left is this Avshalom. But he heard that the whole family was wiped out, which wasn't true. But that was, the very fact he got that report is notable, and it's part of the Yisurim. Vayokum HaMelech, the king got up. Vayikra es bagodav, and he tore his clothing. And the Gemara in Moed Katan learns out from here, dinam of Avelus. In other words, Kriya, tearing the clothing by a mourner, is done standing. David, the king got up, he stood. Vayikra es bagodav, and he tore his clothing. Vayishkav Ortson, he lied on the ground. And the Gemara learns out it doesn't have to be literally on the ground. It could be on a low bed, a low stool, whatever. He lied on the ground, on a cushion, whatever. But he did as a sign of mourning. And all of his servants were standing around, and everyone had torn clothing. They were all mourning and feeling David HaMelech's loss. The Gemara in Moed Katan is on Daf Chaf Aleph. Vayan Yonadav ben Shima. Yonadav ben Shima calls out. Achi David, Shimon was the brother of David. This is David's nephew. And he's the one who had told Amnon the advice that he should pretend he's sick. And then tell David HaMelech to send Tamar. He was the one who was behind this whole thing. That Tamar should go and should prepare the food in front of him. Now Yonadav ben Shima speaks up. Vayan Yonadav ben Shima. It's not known if David HaMelech realized that he had anything to do with what happened. It could be it wasn't known that he was the one behind the advice. But he's obviously still has some, he has a say in what's going on. So he's there and he calls out Vayomer and he says, Al Yomar Adoni, my master shouldn't say, Eis Kohana Orim B'nei HaMelech Himisu, that all of the lads, the children of the king, died. Don't say they all died. Ki Amnon Levado Meis. It was only Amnon alone who died. As the only person who died. Ki Al Pi Avshalom Hoysa Suma. This was placed by the mouth of Avshalom, Miyoma Noso, from the time that Amnon had violated his Tamar Achoso, what Amnon had done to Avshalom's sister Tamar. When he did that to his sister Tamar, Avshalom decided that's it. Amnon's going to have to die. But it was only Amnon. So the king shouldn't feel that it was such a tragedy. All the Bnei HaMelech died. He who you thought was such a good friend of Amnon and was trying to help him out. I mean, he gave a wicked advice. But Amnon trusted him as a friend and he gave him this advice how he could do what he wanted to do. We thought Yonadav was a friend. And all of a sudden now he's like minimizing exactly what happened. And it could be that Yonadav really wasn't such a wicked person. Even though Chazal Rashi brings down that he had this, he was a chacham l'ra'a for doing rishus. But it could be he didn't realize that. He thought Tamar would come into Amnon and then Amnon would be able to tell her that he wants to marry her. Otherwise he had no access to her. She was at Tzanua and she was in her house. There was no way he could even talk to her. This way he'd have a chance to tell it to her. And of course she would say they could get married. Maybe he didn't realize how far this would go. Or he thought that, of course, Amnon would do the Savera, but he wouldn't have kicked her out and made a big scene out of it. And then she went around and she was mourning and she was crying in the streets. He should have done it in a quiet way. And the very fact, the way Amnon handled it, he now felt to turn against Amnon as it is and like play down the tragedy. It's only Amnon, it's not so important. Or it could be simply, Yonadav is a bad friend. That's what a chover ra is. He goes ahead like the Yetzirah and he gives a person advice how to do the Averis. And then when the person gets the punishment, he's ready to say goodbye. You know, that's it. So now Yonadav turns to Dov and he says, it wasn't so bad. It was only Amnon. Because it's not that Avshalom is trying to take over as the king. Avshalom killed Amnon miyoma noso es tamar achoso because of what Amnon did. But this is a personal thing between Avshalom and Amnon, and it didn't involve anybody else in the family. And Yonadav said he knew for sure that that was exactly what was going on with Avshalom. That's why Avshalom did it. So you don't have to worry, the other ones weren't killed. It could be also, Al Yomar Adoni, don't say Es Kolan Aron B'nei HaMelech Hemisu, that they all died. There's a concept of Al Tiftach Pel Esotin. If you're not sure it happened, it's better not to say there was a tragedy. Don't say they all died. Why say all died? You don't know no, for sure. You heard a rumor. It's not confirmed. To say something, a person's mouth, again, has a power that we're not aware of. But it's just HaKadosh Baruch who gave you the power with your mouth to accomplish tremendous things. And if a person says something, it has a certain power, spiritual power in the world, that it can come true. The very fact that you said it. Of course, the greater a person that says it, the more it comes true. The Gemara has terrible things where a person would, if there was a great chacham who would say something, kishkoga sheyotza milifnei ashalid. The Gemara says, like, if a ruler goes ahead and he makes a mistake and he says something, if a ruler says, kill that person's killed. I was a mistake, but if the ruler said it, it's done, 1, 2, 3. And if a person's mouth is the way it should be, he can shower brachas on people, and if chas v'shalom he says the wrong thing, it can bring about a punishment. But the mouth is a very powerful tool. And Al Yomer Adoni, don't say that all the Na'arim died. You don't know, it's not confirmed, don't say it. We can assume only Amnon was the one who was killed. Va'ata now, Al Yosem Adoni HaMelech Alibo, the king shouldn't take it to his heart. Dover, this word, Lamor, saying, Kol B'nei HaMelech Mesu, all the children of the king died, which seems to be redundant. Ki Amnon Levado Mesu, only Amnon died, which of course we just said that. But as the Malbim explains, first he told him, Avshalom was out to kill only Amnon. Because of what Amnon did, Miyoma Noso is Tamar Achoso, from what Amnon did to Tamar, Avshalom was out to kill Amnon. But then there's a separate concern. All the B'nai HaMelech are there. And what happens if they put up a fight and they try to defend Amnon? Avshalom only wanted to kill Amnon, but could be the other one stuck up for Amnon and there was a skirmish and there was a battle and then as a result the other ones died. So first, Yonadav says, Avshalom only planned to kill Amnon. Va'ata, now don't take, the king shouldn't take to heart these reports. Ki Amnon levado meis. Yonadav said, I know that the other ones didn't die. As Yonadav obviously was aware of what was going on, he was a cunning person, and he realized that the other ones escaped and that they weren't killed. And could be he's reiterating it to say, I'm not just saying it to make you feel better. That David HaMelech is so struck with this tragedy, he shouldn't think that Yonadav is saying, nah, the other ones didn't die. But he repeats it. No, I know for sure. I'm not saying it just to make you feel better. I know for sure that the other B'nai HaMelech didn't die. The Pasuk said, Ki al pi Avshalom hoisa suma. This was placed from the mouth of Avshalom. As Rashi says, Avshalom gave a command that Amnon should be killed because of what happened to his sister Tamar. Obviously, Yonadav was, I don't know if he was there or he was just aware or he knew. The fact that he knew so much, he was so cunning, he knew that Amnon going there, Avshalom was going to do something, because it seems like he has the inside scoop. Even though we'll see in a moment, everyone came running, and they showed up by David, and Yonadav, who was there the whole time, knew exactly what happened. But he says, I know that this was an instruction from Avshalom because of what happened with his sister Tamar. The Targum says, from in the heart of Avshalom havas kimono, there was like an ambush. The word some can mean to place an ambush against others. You have by Amalek. It was brought down in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tesvov. It says, Asher sum lo baderech. Amalek ambushed Klal Yisrael when they were traveling on the road in the Midbar. Asher sum lo, to place an ambush. This was all part of an ambush. Ki al pi Avshalom hoisa suma, there was like an ambush from Avshalom that he was out to get Amnon. The Abarbanel has a third way of learning. Ki al pi Avshalom hoisa suma means by the mouth of Avshalom, hoisa suma, it was like placed in his mouth that Avshalom has been talking about this for the last 2 years. He obviously was careful. It's different than what we've been learning before, that he was quiet, he didn't mention a word of it, but it could be there were certain friends that he confided in. And now Yonadav is saying, I know that Avshalom had this, al pi Avshalom hoisa suma, on the mouth of Avshalom, this was placed, that he's going to get Amnon. Miyoma noso is Tamar Achoso, from the day that Amnon violated Avshalom's sister Tamar, from when Amnon did that, Avshalom was out to get revenge, and he's been talking about it for 2 years. There's a tremendous mussar in that. This is probably going back to 20, 25 years ago, I went on a Motzei Shabbos to Rav Shalom Shvadron's house, the famous Magid in Yerushalayim. He used to give a Musa Shmuz for the Yeshiva Bochrim. And he quoted the following pasuk. He explained it in Nitzovim. Moshe Rabbeinu was warning, telling Klal Yisrael, there might be Chas v'Shalom somebody who was got involved in Avodah Zarah. Panyesh Bachem, Isha, Isha, there might be somebody who got attracted to Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk says, Vatiro Shikutseyem, you saw the abominations, Veiskiluleyem, and the detestable things that the Goyim worship, you saw their idols, how disgusting they are. The Shikutsim and the Gilulim, Eitz Va'Even, their wood and stone, Kesef Vizov, the silver and gold, Hashirimom, that they have. And he explained the Pasuk like this. Pashup Shah in the Pasuk is, you saw their disgusting things. They're idols out of wood and stone and silver and gold. He said what the Pasuk is saying is like this. Sometimes you can see what the Goyim have and what they're doing. And you see the idol worshiper, and your first reaction is, as she could say in Veskiluleim, you see it and you know it's disgusting. It's a terrible thing. And then time goes on, and then when you look again, it doesn't strike you as being so terrible. It's Eitz Va'Even. It's shtusim. It's nonsense. It's not so bad. You know, they do their thing, we do our thing. They're doing stupidity. But it doesn't strike you as being such a horrible, abominable thing. It's Eitz Va'Even. And time goes on, and all of a sudden you see, you know, what, they're all doing this nonsense. This Kesef Vizov, there's a certain attraction. It's like silver and gold. And the person can end up making a 180-degree turn from his initial revulsion, and all of a sudden he's attracted to it. So Moshe Rabbeinu's warning, you have to make sure nobody got caught up in Avodah Zarah, in idol worship. But sometimes with the course of time, a person can change his feelings about it. I don't know if Avshalom really dreamed that he was going to kill Amnon. But it could be he was talking about it. I think it could be a lesson, or as he was talking about it. You know, Amnon deserves to die. You know, Amnon, I wish I could kill him. You know, Amnon, somebody should get up and do that to him. And he just kept on talking about it for 2 years. You know, somebody's got to do something to Amnon. And the more they talk about it, it all of a sudden becomes not the type of thing like, how could such a thing happen? To kill somebody who's not Chayiv Misa, and it's a brother. And it's the king's son. And what's the father David going to think? And all the cheshbonos. But if you keep talking about it, he deserves to die. I wish I could kill him. When could I kill him? It's just talking about it again and again, all of a sudden it becomes a reality. Ki al pi Avshalom hoisas suma, was placed in his mouth from miyoma nosois tamar kal achoso. And after 2 years, now he's ready to carry it out. And I think that's one of there's many different aspects, incidentally. Many different ideas, parts of why Nivel Peh, speaking obscene language, is terrible. But one of them is, it takes something, and just talking about the one, and then the Aveira no longer seems so out of the ordinary. You know, they talk about the Aveira so many times, it talks about killing Amnon, eventually that's what he does. It loses the whole feeling of revulsion, that this is an Aveira. So Yonadav Ben Shima says, I know that's what Avshalom had in mind, and he's been planning it for 2 years. Ki al pi Avshalom oisasuma miyoma no, so it's going way back. That was his plan. But you shouldn't feel so bad. It's only Amnon who was killed, and he knows for sure that the other Bnei HaMelech weren't killed. Again, it's striking that he would say such a thing. I can imagine anybody there. It's a moment of such grief. How can you minimize it? It's better to say nothing. Like Yonadav comes and he says, David HaMelech, you know, it's not so terrible. It's not as bad as we thought. Vayivrach Avshalom. Avshalom ran away. He had just told the Anarim, don't worry. You know, ki anochi tzivis yoskam. I'm the guy who's taking achrayis. I'm taking responsibility. Go ahead, they can kill Amnon, nothing will happen. But sure enough, they killed Amnon, and Avshalom was out of there. Vayivrach Avshalom, Avshalom fled. And the Mefarshim noticed before the Lashon Vayanusu was like to flee the scene. Vayivrach is mashma, he fled, he left, but it's not as urgent. Could be Avshalom wasn't sure exactly where to go and what to do. And then he realized when, from David HaMelech's reaction, that it could be he realized, he got the report that even after Amnon was killed, And David knew it was only Amnon, but David HaMelech seemed to be concerned with Amnon, seemed to be concerned with the other Bnei HaMelech, and he didn't feel there was, David HaMelech didn't feel that, well, Amnon got his punishment, he deserved it. But he saw how David HaMelech, we'll see in a moment, was so upset by Yivrach Avshalom. Avshalom figured he can't stay here, he's got to leave the country. And we'll see exactly where he went. Vayisa Hanar Hatsofes Einov. The lad who was on the lookout. There was a soldier for the lookout. And he lifted up the scene of his eyes. Vayaren he saw Vinei Amrav. There was a tremendous crowd. Holchim Miderech Acharov. They were traveling on the road in back of the lookout. Mitzad Ahar from the direction of the mountain. It could be Avshalom had fled, and the people didn't know where Avshalom went to and where he was coming from, because the lookout knows that they went to cut the sheep's wool. And he knows which direction Avshalom had gone in. And he expected them to come back in a certain direction. If they weren't killed, they'd be coming back. But they took a circuitous route because they were afraid, they didn't know where Avshalom had gone and if their life was in danger. So he turns around and he sees they took some roundabout route, and sure enough, they're all coming. Vayomer Yonadav el HaMelech. So Yonadav now says to the king, Hinei, behold, a chiddush, something new, take a look. Bnei HaMelech bo, all of the children of the king have come, kidvar avdecha kein hoya, like the word of your servant, so it was. Again, it sounds kind of funny, it's like he's taking the credit, in other words, like he's more concerned with his personal credibility than the king's loss. But you should know, whatever I said is true, the Bnei HaMelech weren't killed, here they come. It was when he finished speaking. The children of David, the children of the king came. And they raised their voices. And they cried. And the king and all of his servants cried a very great cry. When Bathsheba had her first son, the Yelad, the first son of Bathsheba that died. We learned over there, David HaMelech davened and he fasted and he suffered as long as the child was alive. He did anything he could to save the life of the child. And when the child died, David took a nonchalant attitude, you know, and ni holeich elav, hulo holeich elai, in other words, yoshuv elai, that, you know, the one who was nift is not coming back to us, you know, he's on the road where we're all traveling. Lachar me'av Esrim, everyone dies, you know, he died earlier, but David said he's going to join the child in the Olam HaEmes. That's the road that they're going on. But he didn't seem, and then he ate and he drank and he washed himself. He didn't feel like mourning, and here he has the opposite reaction. They cried a b'chi gadol me'od, a tremendously great cry. The Ralbag learns that what David HaMelech had done for that Yelid was he had davened and he had fasted that the child should live. And once it was too late, so he says, Ki atzom yase al derech hatfilah v'habakosha me'Hashem yisparach. When David was fasting, he wasn't fasting to suffer. He was fasting because he was hoping to accomplish, I mean, it could be the suffering is part of this accomplishment, but it was for a goal of saving the life for this child. V'zeh dover bilti royu achar mos hayeled. After the child dies, there was no reason to fast. So as soon as David heard that the child died, David said, bring in food, and he should eat. It's been days since he ate. Aval yis'avel alov, but the Ralbag learns David HaMelech mourned over that child. V'hada'ogo hu dover yechayiv hateva, avas hadimyonim. Worrying and feeling anguish over such a loss is a natural reaction. If somebody loves somebody similar, you have a connection with somebody, and that person dies, it's a natural reaction to feel that worry and that concern. And he says David HaMelech did that also. And he continued, he did mourn over the child. Just over there, there was no point in fasting anymore. And it was obviously the extreme stress and strain that David was on to like do whatever he could do to save the child. It was over. So that's it. He could go back to eating. But of course David HaMelech felt the loss. Other Mephoshim learn that no. Over there it says he washed himself, he anointed himself with oil. He bedafka did not mourn. Because David HaMelech realized, first of all, the Navi had told him this child was going to die. And once the Navi told him the child was going to die, even though he still hoped his tefillah could change it, but he didn't feel that loss. And as we mentioned, it was a baby that had no averus, this child. So whatever had to be accomplished, the child was born and the neshama came into this world, whatever purposes had to be gained by this neshama being born, it was born. But he didn't feel such an extreme anguish. Over here, the one who died was Amnon, was a bachor, was an adult. He could have accomplished, he could have done tshuva, he could have done a greater tshuva on his averus. He's leaving the world, who knows if he has the chusim, he has averus. Who knows what where Amnon is in the Olam HaEmes? He did spend those 2 years Isaac and Torah, and but who knows? Who knows what? He's not leaving like a pure neshama like the child, and David therefore felt the greater anguish. And of course, the very fact that he was killed by his brother, the whole it was a tremendous tragedy that can't be compared to the death of that of the child of the yeled. V'avshalom barach again. The Pasuk says, we already mentioned before he fled, but could be there he fled just to, he left the scene. Now, Avshalom Baruch, Avshalom fled, Vayelech El Talmai Ben Amihud, Melech Geshur, and he ran to the king Talmai, the son of Amihud, it's read Amihud, Melech Geshur, the king of Geshur, and that was his grandfather. Amnon was born, Avshalom and Tamar had been born from the Yifas Toar, had been war, their mother had been taken in war, where David had captured her in a battle, and her father was the king of was this Talmai ben Amihud Melech Geshur. That was his grandfather. So Avshalom ran there. He figured he's not safe. I guess he'll go to the other side of the family. He's not certainly not safe with David's with that side of the family. So he ran to Talmai Vayisabel al Beno Kol Hayomim. But David HaMelech mourned over his son, Kol Hayomim, all the days. David HaMelech, it seems, did not get over this loss of what happened to Amnon, the fact that Amnon was killed. It's interesting, the Gemara says in Moed Katan, on Chav Zayin Amid Beis, the Gemara says that it's a person is not allowed to mourn too much. Kol HaMiskasha Al Meso Yosem Ridai. If somebody takes it too hard when his relative dies, al meis acher hu bocher. The Gemara used a very scary, a very powerful lashon. If somebody mourns too much over his dead, he'll have other people to mourn for. And it brings a maisai yitzah. So there was a woman, Tahavis b'shivavusei de Rav Huna, who was in the neighborhood of Rav Huna. Havala shiva boni, and she had 7 sons. Meis chad minayu, one of the sons died. Havas kabachya bi seirsa, and she was crying excessively. Again, it's so hard for us to really picture. I mean, it's a tremendous nisoyan. None of us should ever have such an experience. But for a mother with a child, but whatever she was crying was too much. Bi seirsa le shalach Rav Huna. Rav Huna sent her a message. Lo savdi hachi, don't do that. Lo ashka chabein, she didn't listen. Shalach lo, he sent her another message. Itzaisis mutav. If you listen, it'll be good. Vilo tzavis, vilo, and if you don't want tzavis zavdasa, prepare the tachrichim, prepare shrouds, le'idach mis, for the other ones who are going to die. Umisu kulu, and eventually they all ended up dying. L'sof amarlo, and in the end he said to her, temush zavdasa l'navsheich. She should prepare tachrichim for herself. Umisa, she ended up dying. It's a very sad Gemara, but it's a very difficult thing. But the Gemara learns out in Shulchan Aruch. You know, it's sometimes a person feels it's difficult to sit through a shiva and a shloishim. He doesn't feel the loss, and he's got to keep the halachas. You know, depending on how close they were, but it's difficult the whole shiva, the shloishim. So for a parent, it's a year, and sometimes the reaction's the other way around. A person can't get over it. He wants to drag it on, and there's a certain point the person has to be makabel the din shamayim. In other words, it's a punishment, and there's halachas, and he's supposed to mourn, and he should accept and know it's a tragedy. The Gemara says it's cruelty to just ignore it. If someone has, there are halachas of avelus, but he's got to be able to get over it. And here, David HaMelech, the Pasuk says, Vaisabo al b'no kol hayamim. So I didn't see a pshat in it, but I think the pshat might be that David HaMelech wasn't... The Gemara's mashma, you can't have complaints. You can't have complaints about Kadosh Baruch who did this. A person, and it's difficult, it's an isoyon, but a person has to be mevorach al rok, shem shu mevorach al tova. He has to be able to accept it, and that's the way it is. He has to accept what Hashem meted out to him. And to mourn too much is like, in other words, what, you care about the nifter more than Hashem does? In other words, he has to stop. By David HaMelech, his mourning is part of mourning over his Averis, and he knew this was a punishment. This was all because of whatever he was feeling was a punishment to him. It was a different type of mourning. For the rest of his life, he realizes what his action, according to his madrega, he was given a punishment, and that this is what the punishment entailed, and he never forgot what happened to his son Amnon. What happened to his son Amnon, because this was one of the punishments he got when he took Bathsheba. Avshalom Borach, Pasuk Lamed Ches, Avshalom fled, Vayelach Geshur, and he went to Geshur, which is where the king was, which we just learned. But the Mephorshim learned, initially he ran, and he stayed with Talmai, he stayed with the king. And the king would travel around, and he would travel also, he stayed with the king. Afterwards, Avshalom felt even a greater fear, that who knows, maybe there's a hit squad after him, who knows? And even if he's with the king, but they might be after him. And he secluded himself by Yelech Geshur. He went to Geshur and he holed himself up in this royal city that was like a fortress. And he didn't want to leave the city. He didn't want to leave the area. He stayed there where he's safe, and he didn't want to travel around like the king was traveling. Vayihisham Sholoshanim. And for 3 years he was there. 3 years he was living together in that environment with the king of Geshur, with the Goyim over there, but he felt he was in a sakana. He was in a sakana. To go back to Eretz Yisrael, he realized he might be given the death sentence. If there were, you know, nerds, he stayed where he was. Vatechal David HaMelech. And now, Vatechal David HaMelech. The word Vatechal, there's different explanations. One is Vatechal, that David had a yearning. Like nichsefa v'gam kol sanavshi lechatzus Hashem, my soul has a yearning and it pines to get for the Beis Hamikdash, such a strong desire. Vatechal David HaMelech. David HaMelech had a yearning, lotzei sel Avshalom, that he wanted to go out to Avshalom. Ki nicham al Amnon, he consoled himself over Amnon. Ki meis, that Amnon had died. That even though he never forgot, and there was a mourning that he went on forever, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the presents is people forget. It's a present that Hashem gave. That as time goes on, time heals, and the tragedy doesn't feel as fresh, and eventually he came to grips with the fact that Amnon died, and there's a gezeira that a mace eventually is forgotten, and eventually it gets a little bit easier. Amnon had died, he has a son Avshalom that's living, and for 3 years he's away in this place, Geshur. So now David had a desire, he had a yearning, he wants to see his son Avshalom. Vatechal, it doesn't say Vayichal, or Vatechal is Lashon Nekeva. Some learned it should say like Vatechal Nefesh David, the soul of David had this desire. And some learn Vatechal is Lashon Nekeva. It's in the feminine form of the word, because Avshalom had a mother. And Avshalom's mother was not the mother of Amnon. And she, obviously, the fact that Amnon was killed, okay, you know, let's assume she felt bad, but it wasn't her child. Her child was Avshalom. And Avshalom was away in this strange place for 3 years. He's not coming back. There's no knowing what's going to be. So Vatechal, Lashon Nekeva, the women, David HaMelech's wife, the mother of Avshalom, it could be even Tamar, who was Avshalom's sister, Vatechal, the women brought about this yearning of David HaMelech to go out to Avshalom. But it was initiated by the women in the family who were related to Avshalom, and they wanted to see him already. And it could also be Vatechal means to hold back. Like, L'sichlo rachamecha, don't hold back your rachamim, your compassion. Vatachal nefesh David. David had already decided to withhold any punishment. He wasn't going to go after Avshalom. He wasn't going to try to capture him or to give him any punishment. Vatachal nefesh David, lotzis el Avshalom. He decided to refrain from going out against Avshalom. He got over it. He'll leave Avshalom alone. Kinicham al Amnon kimeis. Because he had already taken consolation. Amnon had died. And that's it. David HaMelech made peace with it. Amnon obviously wasn't Chayiv Misa. The very fact that David mourned over his death, in other words, if Beis Din decides somebody should be killed, the family doesn't sit Shiva. In other words, Beis Din paskin that he deserves to die. Amnon didn't deserve to die. And that's why David had cried such he had mourned so much. And if anything, Avshalom was the wrong person who had accepted Lashon Hara. Tamar came out and told him what happened. He accepted her word. And based on what she said, he acted on it. Avshalom was wrong. On the other hand, we don't find David didn't punish Avshalom. There were no Edim that Avshalom killed Amnon. The only people that could have witnessed it were the Bnei HaMelech, the royal family who had come running. And they're all related. They're all Nogea B'Davar, they're relatives, and they're not believed to say what happened. Besides the fact Avshalom didn't do it. He told the Na'arim, the lads, to do it. And it could be what Avshalom did was really a king would have that power. Obviously he wasn't the king, but it could be it wasn't so, in other words, what Amnon had done was had created a Chil Hashem and a precedent, and he had done something that was never done in Klal Yisrael, and it was such a disgusting, terrible thing that he did. Could be there was a certain merit, even though it was wrong, but Avshalom could be, he hesitated to punish Avshalom, because the truth is Amnon did deserve a severe punishment. And of course, they were all aware of the story with Shechem, when he took Dinah. And he violated her, and Shechem and the whole city were wiped out. And the Mefarshim discuss why the whole city was killed. But it was the idea that Amnon deserved a severe punishment was correct. So Avshalom killed him, and in general, we'll see David HaMelech with his children was an easygoing father, which actually the Navi will see in Malachim takes David HaMelech to task. And it says, "V'lo atzavo aviv miyamov lemor madua kacha asisa." Like David never said to his children, "Why do you do this?" He didn't rebuke them. He let them be. So it could be David himself felt, could be he was a shtickle responsible for what happens among his children. There were different feelings of exactly what he should do with Avshalom, just like there was a debate what to do with Amnon. So David decided, okay, he'll leave Avshalom alone. Kinicham al Amnon, he got over the loss of Amnon to whatever extent, and he'll leave Avshalom. Perek Yud Dalet. Vayeda Yoav ben Tsruya. David had that general, which we've had before, we'll have again, Yoav ben Tsruya. Yoav ben Tsruya knew, Kilev HaMelech al Avshalom, that the king's heart was now set on Avshalom. Either it means that he realized that David already felt a closeness to Avshalom, and David cared for Avshalom, and he wanted to make peace. Or it could be he realized that David HaMelech, he wanted to see Avshalom. David wanted to see Avshalom, and therefore Yoav was going to try to facilitate his return.